To be in the house of the Lord today, isn't it? The youth group, you guys are dismissed, and we are going to continue our journey through the book of Ruth. So if you're in the book of Ruth, if you open your Bibles in Ruth chapter 1, I just want to apologize if you're watching us on Facebook tonight. You're watching me through my phone because our camera is not really, not a camera, some technicalities. They're in the sound room with our Facebook thing. So I know some of you might say, well, the sound is not that good. Hey, it's my phone, okay? I can't hear you that good. You know, we're doing the best we can, all right? So anyway, let's look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 19. Ruth chapter 1, verse 19, and we will continue to do our journey through the book of Ruth. And we will continue to look at the book of Ruth. This is a short book. It's a wonderful book. Some people say it's a story of love. It is a story of love. But there's a lot more than that here as we start digging on this thing. So let's look at Ruth chapter 1, verse 19. It says, So they too went until they came into Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. Them whom? Them Naomi and Ruth. And they said, it is Naomi. Actually, the way it said is a question mark. It is Naomi. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. Now pay attention to this verse, verse 21. Look what it says. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. She said, when I left Bethlehem, Judah, we were full. We had everything. But when I came back empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty had afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. I just pray, Lord, as we dig to this passage, as we dissect this passage, Lord, give us something we can take home with us tonight. And for those who are watching us on Facebook or sermon audio, I just pray for them that they will not leave us. They will park, they'll wait and watch. And Lord, if there's someone even watching us on social media, they never really trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, may tonight, Lord, they call upon you for salvation. Lord, so many people are afraid of COVID-19. Seems like nobody's afraid of dying. And I pray, Father, tonight they will see the reality of dying and the reality of Jesus. Lord, I pray they call upon you tonight for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Let's look here. I titled this message tonight, Returning Home Can Be Difficult. Returning home can be difficult. Is there a new outline? So leaving home or leaving our bird's nests or the place where we grew up is common to most of us, isn't it? Eventually, everybody leaves the nest, right? Even the most lazy one, like, you know, those birds, you know, sometimes you see a bird's nest and you have like four or five birds in there and it seems like everybody flies away and there's one there. Seems like he doesn't want to go away. He's too lazy. He doesn't want to get up. He's a mommy's bird, so to speak. But eventually they take wings and fly. I remember one time in the back of my house in my workshop, and for some reason there's some type of a bird there that is right outside. It makes a nest out of mud. I have no idea what kind of bird it is, but he makes a nest, and it's not like on top, it's like against the wall. So if the wall is right here, like I can reach it with my hands, and it's a whole scope of mud. And the birds is in there, and they get so used to us, they don't even fly away in anything. But one time I noticed there was all the birds there, and they all flew away until this little bird stayed there. And this little bird tried to fly and flew a little bit and to the grass he went. So I'm watching and I carefully walked and picked it up and put it back in the nest. And 5 minutes later, back in the grass again. I said, buddy, So he did it for 4 or 5 times until he gave up. He gave up. And the next day I saw him again. He's over there stretching his wings, you know, getting ready. And he took off and he went up. I didn't see him anymore. I never returned. It's like, wow. So he was exercising the day before and he's trying my patience. That's what he did. But anyway. But leaving home or leaving our bird's nest or the place where we grew up is common to most of us. There's a time in our lives where most of us spread our wings, so to speak, and fly away. And we fly away to a new phase of life. So it is easy to leave home and leave the people that we love, isn't it? It is easy to leave home and leave the people that we love. It is easy to leave friend. It's never easy to leave home and the people that you love. Never easy. That's what I try to say. It's never easy to leave friends, family, neighbors, and mom and dad. It's never easy. I remember the day before I got married, and I was going to move away from home. Yeah, from my mom's house. It was from the apartment downstairs to the apartment upstairs. That's where I was going to live. And interesting. But that night, that was the last night I was single. So I was getting married the next day. Oh, goodness. And my mom was crying, and my dad was crying, and the whole family was crying. Then I was crying. I said, Mom, I'm going to move upstairs. And it's not like I was leaving. It was like, you know. But I could understand what they were thinking. And of course, we got married and we moved upstairs. But it's never easy to leave home. Never easy. Even though most of us leave home one time or another, leaving home, it is a unique experience for each one of us. Why? It is because each person experienced this phase of life in a very unique way. For an example, some leave home to go to college. I never left home to go to college. I left home when I got married. Some leave home to go to the military. Some leave home because they're getting married, like myself. Some leave home because of work. They have to work in some part of the state or some other states or leave miles away from home, so they have to leave. So there are many reasons why people leave home. Now, not everyone leaves home the right way. I talk about the good ways. Now, there are also many, many reasons why people leave home. Some leave home brokenhearted. Some leave home because of a bad relationship. Some people leave home because of famine. Some leave home because of wrong friends. So it's all kinds of reasons why we leave home. We even leave home because we can't get along with our siblings. We can't get along with our parents. Maybe it's a bad relationship. Whatever it is. But some leave home in a good way. Some leave home not in a good way. But either way, we all leave home one time or another. Now, I said there are many reasons why people leave home. But my focus tonight is not on the subject of leaving home, but on the subject of returning home. Because returning home after, depends how you left home, can be extremely difficult. If you left home the right way, you know, you went to school, is a job, you went to the military, or whatever it is, you got married, you're returning home with your family and the grandkids, you know, it is joyful. It is good. But if you left home in a different reason, not a good reason, it can be very difficult to return home. You agree with me on that? I think it can be very difficult. For an example, let me give you some example. You left home because you couldn't get along with your parents. Then, let's say 5, 6 years later, you return home. It's not easy. It can be very difficult to return home. Or a child left home. Or a relationship that is... How you return home, it can be very difficult. So the subject tonight is not about leaving home. It's about returning home. So let's watch as Naomi returns to Bethlehem and think on this thought, returning home. Let's look at this from several points tonight. Number one, the arrival at home. The arrival at home. Look at verse 19. It's right here in these verses. And day two means Naomi and Ruth came from the land of Moab. Now they're returning to Bethlehem, Judah. They said, until they came to Bethlehem, it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, then all the city, meaning all the people of Bethlehem, was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? So, I mean, you know, suddenly they're returning home. And of course, Naomi didn't return home the way she left home. She comes home, and what she left behind her, she left three graves in the land of Moab. Her husband and her two sons died, and she buried them. She left a daughter-in-law that went back to her people. So she coming home empty, broken, bitter. She's not coming home joyful and anticipating. She's coming home beaten down. And she said, it said right here that the city was moved about them. And then they said, it is this not Naomi. So the trip from Moab to Bethlehem was taking about 7 to 10 days. So let's put it this way. It was not an easy trip, especially for an elderly woman to travel by foot for 10 days. And believe me, it was not 95 or 295 or Route 146 that they walk on. It was no roads in those days. It was like two hills and valleys, and they made it all the way to the land of Bethlehem. So let's put it this way. It was not easy trip for an elderly woman. It was not easy for a young person either to walk for about 7 to 10 days. So more than likely, they walked all the way to Bethlehem. So it would have required them to cross the River Jordan and to climb to 200 plus feet in elevation required to reach Bethlehem. It would have been easy to stop short of the city, but they continue until they were there where they're supposed to be. So that was a long and painful walk home to the house, to the house of bread, or the house where Naomi was coming, which now actually Bethlehem means the house of bread. Some Christians, and put it this way, when they try to walk back home, it can be very painful. Now we can see right here, Naomi and Ruth, they came from the land of Moab, and they're walking all the way to Bethlehem, Judah. And from what we read, that was not an easy journey. It actually was a very difficult journey. Now let me tell you, sometimes when we fall by the wayside as Christians, and it can happen to all of us at any given time, let me put it this way. Bear with me for a second, okay? We who are in the house, we should not be like the prodigal son story when the son that stayed in the house got mad when his brother returned home. That shouldn't be us in the church. When a brother returns home, we ought to rejoice and celebrate that a brother that was dead is now alive. All right? We should not look down at him and say, how dare you laugh to us, and how dare you coming back. No, no, no. That should never be our attitude. You know, because it is difficult and painful for a brother to return. What are they going to think of me? What are they going to say? You know, these thoughts go to a person's mind. I met a brother one time that he was in church, young Christian, was growing in the Lord, and suddenly he disappeared. The next time I saw him, we had a men's, it was like the weekend of Father's Day, and we had a men's canoe trip. So we went to South County, and everybody that rented a canoe, we went down that stream, and I flipped a few good times. I flipped a few good times in that canoe. Oh, goodness. But anyway, besides that, we went there, and I saw him there. So somebody invited him to come. And he was there, and he really didn't want to participate. He was very shy, very uncomfortable. And I talked to him, and I was rejoicing when I saw him. And I asked him, how is he doing? How's things going? He goes, well, I was invited to come to church, but I really don't want to go to church. I feel like everybody's looking at me and judging me. And I look around, and I said, who? I don't see anybody judging you. I'm not judging you. And like, he goes, well, you make it feel good. I was like, you know what? And he pulled his sleeves, pulled the shirt off with the sleeves up, and he had these big tattoos that he put in his arms. And he said, see, I can come to church because since I've been out of church, I put this in my arms and I feel uncomfortable. What are people going to say of me? I told him, I said, if they say something to you, come tell me so I can go talk to them. We have to rejoice in the Lord that you want to come home. I know it's difficult. but should be a time of rejoicing. Isn't that the story of the prodigal son? What did the father did at the door? He was waiting for his son to return home. And what he did to his son? He embraced his son. He hugged his son. He kissed his son. He made a big feast for him. It was a time of celebration. What happened to the brother? He was not happy. You know what? That's the picture of a lot of Christians. When somebody returned home that was lost out there, guess what happens? They're like, you know, how dare you? I mean, you know, this person left, you want him back? No, we shouldn't be that way. We should be like Jesus. Everyone that turns to him, he forgives. We should be the same way. And sometimes, you know what? We just get offended because a brother left. He didn't do nothing wrong to us. It just fell by the wayside or fell in the ways of sin, whatever it is or was. But we should never be offended at that. Should rejoice when the brother or sister come back home. So, folks, there are cases of Christians who are sitting in churches and still far away from home. It happens. Repentance is the way back to the Lord. Sometimes we are in the church and our mind is in the wilderness. And it's when we return back home from that wilderness, we are to rejoice with that brother or sister. So letter A, return to the place of God's praise. Return to the place of God's praise. Look what it says in verse 19 and verse 20. It says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, then all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty had dealt fully bitterly with me. You see, the Bible tells us that the people of Bethlehem, Judah, rejoiced when they saw Naomi arriving. They recognized her. After a long time away from home, they were happy to see her return. That's the picture of a Christian. That's the picture should be the one. When a brother or sister returns home, we are to rejoice with each other. And let me tell you, after a long time away from home, they were happy to see her. But Naomi was not rejoicing. Actually, she would call herself Mara and encourage them to call her the same name. Naomi didn't have much to rejoice. Let me tell you this. If you were in Naomi's feet, would you? You lived in the land of Moab for about 10 years. And in 10 years, you lost your husband and your two kids and your daughter-in-law. And you come home empty with not even a dime to show for it. Would you be happy? And she knew it was the judgment of God that was in her house. And she said, call me Mara. See, she was full of bitterness. Naomi returned home, not in victory. She returned home, so to speak, like we said today, with the tail between her legs. And she was just pushing home because she heard there was bread in Bethlehem. Otherwise, she wouldn't come. So she didn't come because, you know, I'm going home and I'm going to rejoice to see my neighbors and my friends and my brothers and sisters and my family. She was not thinking of that. She came home with the tail between her legs and she was bitter. And let me tell you, folks, sometimes Christians return home that way. They beat up, they're discouraged, the world beat them down, and they fell into sin and all kinds of stuff. And they come back to church, beat up with the tail between their legs. And what we do, what example these people did here, they rejoice. And that's what we need to do. Listen, when a brother is down, we put our hand and we lift them up. The Bible says in Ephesians, we are to edify one another. We are to encourage one another in the Lord. Because, folks, let me tell you this. You might be laughing today, and you may be crying tomorrow. And you might see a brother crying today, and you're rejoicing because everything is good about you. But tomorrow, you'd be in their place, you'd be crying, they'd be laughing. So, no, we are to, if they cry with them. If they rejoice with them. So, but she didn't want to be called Naomi, she wanted to be called Mara. You see, instead of blessings and good fortune, she returns home empty-handed. Instead of joy and gratitude, she returns home full of bitterness. You see, where there is bitterness, there is no joy and gratitude. And that was Naomi's heart. Bethlehem was the place where the Lord was honored and exalted, but there was no praise and no exaltation in Naomi's lips. You ever been there? Where it's not even, you don't even feel like singing a song to the Lord because life just pressed you down so much. Have you been in that place? You say, Lord, I have no joy in my heart even to sing to you. Sometimes, you know, we go through those deep valleys. And sometimes there's no joy. And sometimes you even come to church, we sing, and we just put words out. But our heart is in the valley. We need to be encouraged. Encouraged. Let it be, we see, return to the place of God's presence. Actually, we see this in Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, and says, in the middle of the verse, it said that she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. So why she was returning home? Because she was hungry in Moab, and she heard there was bread in Bethlehem, and she said, I'm going there because there is bread. Not because she really wanted to come home. She was full of bitterness. Isn't it wonderful when we are far away from home, hurting, discouraged, beaten down, and we hear that home, there is bread? Isn't that wonderful when we are beat down, discouraged, away from home, and we hear that our brothers and sisters are rejoicing, and we want to be there with them? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful when a saint is away from the Lord, from the Lord's will, and he sees that there's joy in the house of God, and he comes because he wants to be encouraged. See, when a saint is away from the Lord, from the Lord's will, he cannot enjoy the presence of God. But when a believer returns home, he can once again enjoy the blessed presence of the Lord. Look what it says in Psalm 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. I was thinking about this actually today. I was at work. I was in my lunch break. I was sitting down. I was meditating on the Lord. I was working on the message. And actually in the book of Ruth, I'm almost done my message in the book of Ruth. But I was meditating and I said, Lord, you know what? I love you so much. I never had anybody tell me to open my Bible, to have devotions, to pray with my family, or even to go to church. I never had anybody tell me that. Lord, I love you so much that always been part of me. That's what I want to do. And sometimes, Lord, I'm very discouraged and beat down. I don't feel like getting out of bed to go to church, but I always go to church because I love you. Sometimes I don't feel like opening my Bible, but I do, Lord. So, I'm sharing with you what I was thinking today. And I was meditating on that. And I look at my watch. It's time to go back to work. I was in that deep meditation, talking with the Lord, just in my thoughts. It was not like expressing words, just in my thoughts. And I was like, Lord, you're so good. I mean, you learn so much when you, from your heart, you want to do it. And you rejoice in the Lord. That's how it says right here, in this present, in the presence of the Lord, is the fullness of joy. Folks, it is a joy that only you can experience. I cannot experience that for you. So folks, real joy, true joy, and lasting joy, it is only found when we come home and once again walk in the sweet fellowship with the Lord. God never intended for one of his children to be homeless. Let me repeat that. God never intended for any one of his children to be homeless. He wants his children to come home and to be home and to grow in a home with his brothers and sisters. Let us see. Return to the place of God's provision. We see this in verse 6. It says, in the end of the verse says, the Lord had visited his people and gave them bread. So Bethlehem, Daniel outline, means house of bread. That's what that word Bethlehem means. Naomi and his family left Bethlehem, the house of bread, to go find bread in a foreign land, a land that God did not want them to go. Years later, she returns home from Moab, a land with no bread, back to the house of bread. I tell you what, How many Christians that I known through the years that return home hungry? They were in famine. There was no bread where they were. Sin devastated them. And they came home to the house of bread. Listen, in this book, even if you guys out there following us on social media, in this book, there is a lot of bread. It is a bread that never runs out. And you can eat of it day after day, as many times as you want. There's plenty of bread here. So why don't you satisfy yourself with the bread of God, the word of God? You want to experience the fullness of joy? You got to get one of these books, the Bible, and read it. The book of Ruth is a wonderful book. So, folks, how many Christians leave the house of bread where God placed them to grow and to flourish, to go to a land that God did not want them to go? Listen, Naomi and his family and her family went to Moab, a land that God didn't want them to go. And once they stayed there, they stayed there for a long time. And because they never returned, you know what? God took the life of her husband, took the life of her kids. And when Naomi returned home with nothing, and she was bitter at God. This land is called the land of sin many times. Let me go back. How many Christians leave the house of bread where God places them to grow and to flourish, to go to a land that God did not want them to go? This land is called the land of sin. A land which promised so much, but only offers empty dreams and empty promises. A land that promised only empty dreams and much pain. Folks, there are many Christians who go to that land and return home just like Naomi did, with the tail between their legs, beat down, discouraged, and bitter. But I'm glad that they return home. Let it be returned to the place of God's people. Look what it says in verse 19. And it says, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, and all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? The word move over there is a strong word. The word move is a strong word. It's a word that people got excited. People began to talk about it. It was like, so to speak, it was the news in the town. People talk about it. I don't say it was, but let's say in the local coffee shop, people talk, hey, you know, Naomi returned home. And they go, get out. Really? She did? Yes, she did. Where is she? She's somewhere in town. And everybody start talking about it. So the word there, that word move is a strong word. It's a word that moved everyone. And everyone talked about it. And everyone came to see her. But to her surprise, Naomi returning to a place of kindred spirits and like-minded people. I tell you why, isn't that wonderful? When a Christian left home and he returns home, he or she returns home, and she's received or he is received with a smile and open hearts and people rejoicing. What about in our own homes? What about, let's say, you are a father or a mother, and let's say your child leaves home. Let's say that child didn't leave home in a good way. And that child is out there for 5, 6, 10 years. And you don't know anything about that child. No news, no letters, no phone calls, no nothing. You don't know where that person is for all that years. And suddenly the bell rings. And you go and you open the door and there's your child right there in front of you. What would you do? What would you do to that? Don't come back here anymore? What have you been all these 10 years with that mad, you know, mad face ready to decapitate your kid? No. You open your arms and the first thing is tears of joy. He returned home or she returned home. You're not asking what you've been doing, where you've been. You're home. And you embrace him and you love him. And, you know, no questions asked. I'm glad you made a home. That's the way God wants us to face those things. That's the way these people embrace Ruth and Naomi. Especially Naomi, because Ruth was a stranger to them. So number one, we see the arrival at home. Number two, the declaration at home. We see this in verse 19. So look at the word again in verse 19. Moved about them. I spoke about this word a little bit. Means the city was disturbed and there's an uproar about Naomi's returning home. Why? Naomi returned to Bethlehem, broke, and in the company of a Gentile, a Moabite woman. Where's the rest of the family? Her return made the local news in town. You know how the news passed those days? I don't know if you saw those days. I saw a picture the other day about, if you want to know how the Portuguese satellites, is the ladies in the verandas looking down like this, listening. I go, do you hear? Hear what? That's how the news got spread that day in Bethlehem. Did you hear? What did I hear? By Naomi is home. Oh, really? Did you hear? What? And they kept spreading the news. So Naomi speaks of letter A. Naomi speaks of God's providence in verse 1. Look what it says. It says, and the Lord, in the part of the verse, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. So look what it says in the beginning of the verse. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. So when Naomi gets to town, she tells how the Lord worked to bring her home. Remember that she comes home as a bitter woman. And amazing how she said, I came home empty. She knew the judgment of the Lord was upon her house. She allows her heart to be filled of bitterness towards God. She testifies to the people that the reason she comes home empty-handed is the Lord's fault. Folks, how many Christians do the exact same thing? They leave the house of bread. They go to the wilderness. And they got beat up. And they come home with their tails between their legs. And you know what they do? They blame God. Listen, folks, it's not God's fault. The Lord, according to the Bible, the Lord wants to bless us beyond measure. It's us. Is our hearts that turn the other way? Is our hearts that don't listen to Him? Is our hearts that grow cold towards Him? And what happens is we reap the consequences and we don't like it. And when we don't like it, we blame Him. She's bitter because she lost her husband. She lost her kids. And for a widow, you know, those days it was a tremendous loss. It's not like she could go to the local government and get some help. She couldn't, nothing of those things those days. She was by herself. She had to take care of herself. So they go. Like I said, folks, be careful with the sin of bitterness. Bitterness is like a cancer that spreads throughout our body and grows deep roots in our hearts, and instead of love and joy and gratitude for God, it grows even each day, and we become ugly. Ugly in our speech, ugly in our attitude, ugly in everything that we do because our heart is filled of bitterness. Oh, folks, I met many people like that. They're full of bitterness, and every day, even when they talk, you'll go like, whoa, what's wrong with you? You can see, you can hear in their voice. Let me put it this way. I met many beautiful ladies. When you see them in the distance, you say, well, that's a beautiful lady. And when you start talking to them, you go, whoa, that's an ugly lady. And I'm like, the beauty's outside, but the inside, whoa, goodness, is full of bitterness. It's like, well, let me go this way. I met guys the same way too. And like, and some guys, and you talk to them, you go, well, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Because they're full of bitterness and they express it out. And they spill it out to you and you just want to run away. Can you imagine when Naomi talked to the people and called me Mara? Can you imagine the way she said it probably? So let it be. See, Naomi speaks of God's punishment. Look at verse chapter 1, verse 20. It says, she says this. She testifies of this. She says, for the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. In verse 21, it says, the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. So when she returned home, she had no doubt there was the Lord's hand of judgment upon her house. And let me tell you, folks, we might think that this doesn't happen, but a lot of times, you know what happens too? God's judgment is on our houses. If we live lives of sin and disobedience, if we leave the house of bread and go to the house of sin, we can reap serious consequences. God is merciful. Don't get me wrong. God is loving God. He's merciful. He forgives. But let me tell you, but if you go on in the house and we go to Moab and stay there and refuse even to ask God for forgiveness, eventually God's going to come after us. If you are a child of God, He will come after you. You see, note, her words reveal her heart. I went out full. Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. Evidently, Elimelech was a healthy man when he left Bethlehem for Moab. Look what she said in verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. Interesting. Let us see. Naomi speaks of God's patience in verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. And then call ye me my Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty had afflicted me. So Naomi brought about her own troubles, but the Lord worked hard in her life to bring her home. Why? She needed to hear the news that it was bread in Bethlehem in order for her to return home. Otherwise, she wouldn't. She was too bitter to do that. And sometimes, you know, same thing with Christians. They are out there. They went to Moab, so to speak, the house of sin. They went to Moab. They're so bitter. They're so discouraged. They're so defeated. They need a bait to come back home. So what God does, God sends the bait to them to bring them home. That's what the Lord did to Naomi here. He made her know there was bread in Bethlehem in order for her to come home. She was starving where she was. Let me tell you, folks, a lot of Christians, they are starving out there. They're starving. They are in the desert of sin. They're starving. They say, the church can't help me. God can't help me. I can't even help myself. And you know what they do? They lie to themselves. Because you know what they need? They need the bread every day. Some people, unfortunately, they only open their Bibles when the pastor says, open your Bibles. That should not be that way. We should open our Bibles every day in our homes. You have kids? Open your Bible with your kids. Open your Bible with your spouse. If you have a family of one, open your Bible. Read God's Word. Feed on the Word. Feeding till you get satisfied. To get full, satisfied. That's what we need to do. Folks, it is easy to leave home. We're angry. We mad, we slam the door, out the door we go, and we don't want to come back. It's easy to leave home. But one comes down to ourselves, one comes down, and we meditate on it, and years later, we look back and say, why did I slam the door? Why did I yell on the way out? Why I was so mean to my parents? I need to return home, and I don't know how I'm going to return home. It becomes difficult. You know how many kids are in that situation today? Maybe dad was not fair to the kid. Maybe mom was not fair to the kid. Maybe both parents were not fair to the kid and they decided to leave. And they slammed the door in a way out. They slammed hard at the glass almost falls off the door. But years later, they're hurting. They need mom. They need dad. And they're hurting. But they don't know how they're going to come home. You know what we need to do as parents? I'll be honest with you. I'm a parent myself. I'm not the perfect parent. Far from that. But let me tell you, I think we need to put a sign in front of our doors for our kids and say, you're always welcome in this home. I think that's what we need to do. You're always welcome in this home. Maybe that's what we need to put outside in our church. You always welcome home. Because I think that's what it comes down to. We can't stay like the Lord at the door all day long because we have to go to work, don't we? The Lord just stood at the door and just looking for the son to return home. How long that father was over there, the Bible doesn't tell us, but that seemed like it was a long time. But we can put the sign. We can even put the name of our kids there and say, you're always welcome in this home. So when they leave home, if they leave home because we maybe were not that kind to them, maybe we were not fair to them, and they decide to leave home because they were angry or they felt like, you know, they didn't fit there anymore and they're hurting out there. And they want to return home. When they get to the door and you sit in your sofa or doing something, or and they were about to knock on the door, but they're afraid to do that. You know what? When they look at that sign, I think their heart's going to turn. It's going to change because they see their name there. I'm welcome here. I think that's what we need to do to Christians, to brothers and sisters. Maybe they fell by the wayside or got discouraged or beaten down, and put a sign, put their name there and say, "You're welcome to come back home. We love you." Folks, that's what Naomi got when she got to Bethlehem. The people were rejoicing. They were welcoming her home. And she was not very pleasant to them. Did you ever been that way? Do you ever been that way? Some people try to be pleasant to you, and you just turn around like you have a hammer in your hand and just smashing things, and your words are like bullets and or stones, because you're still mad and angry and bitter. That's the way Naomi was. So now, number three, the new beginning at home. The new beginning at home. Look at verse 22. And Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, and with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of a barley harvest. So many Christians have left home for the country of Moab. They thought that life was better away from home, only to find out that was not so. So like Naomi, many return home bitter, empty, and discouraged. But every time a Christian returns home is always a time for a new beginning. God says in His Word, as mercies are new every morning. I tell you what, when a Christian returns home is a time of new beginnings. When that prodigal son returned home, it was a new beginning for him. Far as I'm concerned, when he returned home, the father embraced him, hugged him, kissed him, gave him a wonderful feast and said, "You are dead and now you are alive." It's a new beginning. Isn't that wonderful? That God is a God of second chances, third chances, fifth chances. That's our God. So she returned home for a new beginning. Letter A, the beginning of a new opportunities. The beginning of new opportunities. We see this on verse 22. Naomi left three graves in Moab, but God, in His goodness, kept her alive and brought her back to the house of bread. God had plans for Naomi. She didn't see it. Let me tell you who tonight here, or even on social media if you're watching us. God always have new beginnings for us ahead. You might feel discouraged and beat down. You don't know where you're heading to. But let me tell you, God always have new beginnings for us. We need to ask God forgiveness of our sin. Say, "Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to follow you." Let me tell you, we don't see it, but God knows what He wants to do with you. And let me tell you, yes, He can use you, and yes, He can use me. Let it be. The new beginning with people who loved her. So Naomi not only added life, she also added opportunity. The people that surrounded her loved her, and they were excited that she returned home. And let me tell you, out there, you a Christian, you've been away from home, from your home church, and you want to return home, but you don't know how. Let me tell you, come home and have a new beginning. God loves you. You left your mom and dad, and you were mad at them. You were away from home. And let me tell you, you don't know how to return home. Go home. Let me put it this way. Your parents are the only parents that you will ever have. Go home. Your parents are waiting for you. Christian, are you away from home? Go home. Come home. That's where God wants you to be, at home. God doesn't want His children to be homeless. He wants His children to be at home. Let us see. Then the new beginning with her old name. Look at verse 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. So Naomi wanted her name to be called Mara, but when the Holy Spirit mentions her in verse 22, he calls her Naomi. Let me tell you this. Her name was not Mara, her name was Naomi, and God did not forget about her. Sometimes we think that God forgot about us, that we even want to change our name. Oh, maybe I change my name, short it up, and put a nickname on my name so nobody knows who I am. No, no, no. God knows exactly who you are and exactly where you're doing right now. She may have been bitter in heart, but the Lord had some pleasant blessings ahead for her. And let me tell you, you here, me included, I tell you why, I love this message tonight because I'm putting myself in this message. And you folks out there on social media, let me tell you, God has blessings for you ahead. You have to trust him. Let me tell you this way. Sin brings along trouble. But the Lord was about to give her blessings and glories that she could not have been imagined. She didn't know what's coming ahead. But when she went to the house of bread, let me tell you, God did not fail her. And when we return from Moab, the house of sin, into the house of bread, and let me tell you, God has in store blessings that, and he will not disappoint you. Let it be the new beginning with the harvest. See this in verse 22. It was a barley harvest when the two women arrived in Bethlehem, a time when the community expressed joy and praised God for his goodness. It was spring, a time of new life, of new beginnings. Isn't that spring a time of new beginnings? The birds have little birdies and the trees have full themselves with leaves and flowers. It's a time of new beginnings. It's a time of everything comes anew. It's a time of the springtime. It was also the time of the Feast of the First Fruits, Leviticus chapter 23, 1-14. A time when the first of the barley harvest was offered in a wave offering before the Lord. It was in a gratitude of the harvest that was about to be reaped. And she came to Bethlehem right at that time. Note this, folks. It is always a time of harvest when a wandering child returns home. There is always a time of celebration when a wandering child of God returns home. So it happened to the prodigal son. The victorious Christian life, listen to this, is a series of new beginnings. Because we experience defeats in our lives. Don't we? I did. Sometimes, you know, you get defeated. We have three enemies. Your flesh, the world, and the devil. And sometimes they get the best out of us. But let me tell you. But the victorious life, Christian life, is a life of new beginnings. We can ask forgiveness, we can get up, and new blessings come our way. That's the way our God is. I conclude with this, folks. Are you away from home? Do you know somebody that is away from home and is afraid to return home? Don't be afraid. I tell you what. Shame on a church, when a brother or sister that has been in Moab decides to come back to the house of bread and they turn their cold shoulder on that person. Shame on such a church. We should be like the people in the house of Bethlehem when Naomi returned bitter and defeated with her tail between her legs. And let me tell you, they rejoiced when they saw her. That's the kind of church you want to go. They rejoice when you come home. May we be that church tonight. Always ready to bless and to rejoice when a brother and sister return home. May the Lord help us to do that.